microphone, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Later on this hour, we're going to have Austin DeMarco on. He's going to talk about the so-called secession of Texas. I don't know what that is. I think it's an exhibitionist kind of move. In other words, if you scream loud enough and bang a garbage can lid with a stick long enough, people are going to pay attention to you. And most of the time, though, they're going to say you're just a pain in the ass. Why don't you shut up? So I don't know what the people in Texas who are, you know, proposing this are hoping they'll achieve. I don't, you know. It's, but we'll find out from Mr. Austin DeMarco. Okay. Now, apparently, this woman down there, this Kelly woman, was friends with another general, General Allen. And now this White House scandal, this Davis Petraeus scandal, I should say, is hitting the White House at a very, very tough time. These are emails to a socialite linked General John Allen to this mess, causing his nomination to a key post to be put on hold. So this is reaching the White House, this socialite scandal. This is about as bad as it's gotten in the Obama administration in terms of this is not Watergate. This ain't even that Blackwater bullcrap, which didn't come to anything. You know, once upon a time, there's a thing called Watergate, folks, and you know, there have been writers looking for a Pulitzer Prize ever since at the expense of a president. And so everything that comes along that doesn't smell exactly right, doesn't smell exactly the way they think a fart should smell, they think that it's Watergate. And nothing has come along like Watergate since Watergate. We had Korea Gate, some load of crap. We had Oliver North and, you know, Fawn Hall and shredding documents. And we had Contragate. We had all kinds of things that, as it turns out, might not have been the nicest way to do business, but it was business as usual and did not even approach the levels of constitutional challenge like Watergate. And ever since then, that's been happening. Now, here we are with the General Petraeus problem. And what do we got? Well, we have people wanting to win a Pulitzer or whatever the hell it is they're doing, and now they're saying, well, what did they know and when did they know it? Broadwell's father, a lot more is going to come out. This is about something else. That's about what I think the father of this young lady would say. The last thing that he wants to see is his daughter being the focus of a people's attention when it comes to whatever illicit activities were going on. So if you're the father of this young lady, the last thing you want to see is her left out, you know, hanging in the breeze. So there's got to be a lot more to this than just my daughter, I can tell you that. Yeah, okay, pops. Let me tell you what's going on here, and I don't see anything that's any, and nobody's told me any different. There's a situation happening here vis-a-vis an affair. And perhaps some hurt feelings. And some very heavy-hitting generals who should not have been doing what they were doing. Maybe it involves this guy Allen. Maybe it just is Petraeus. And parties and socialites and jealousies and so on and so forth. And people will work really, really hard. They're going to work really, really hard to try to find some national security element to this. Now, there is a national security element to this. It has to do with Petraeus having a really bad, having bad judgment.
Well, that's the point. This man was not using proper judgment. He's going out with a young woman, and, you know, when I look at this Broadwell, I see a woman, I don't like it, I'm telling you right now. I know a predatory female when I see one, and she really thinks she's all that. She's, and the dresses she wears are entirely inappropriate. I don't like her. I didn't like her from the minute I looked at her. I don't like the low-cut gowns. I don't like that smart look on her face. So she knows how to do push-ups. Woo! That's really something.
All right, well, Margaret, it sounds like this is a little personal for you.
Why do you say that it's I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, but it sounded a little personal. There's no doubt about that.
It's not personal. It is about a woman that dresses very inappropriately, a predatory woman, a woman targeting a very well-known man, sinking her mud hooks into him,
All right, sinking her mud hooks into him and pulling him down. Yeah, okay. But it sounds like you don't like her.
No, I don't like these young women with the look on her face like... You know, it's a crude term, Phil, but I swear it's true. She's got that look on her face like she could crap big...
Okay, enough.
You know what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean. Enough.
Big cow pies. I've got to use the toilet now.
Yeah, I knew she got to use the toilet.
Why did you know I was going to use the toilet?
Because you're talking about a cow patty.
Yeah, that's enough to inspire anybody.
That is vulgar. No comment.
Yeah, no comment. Margaret, you every time you are really angry about something, you go into the toilet. Now I know. Like they said in Casino Royale. Remember the poker scene in Casino Royale?
Yeah, the tell.
The tell. There you go. What's the tell? In poker, there are different tells. Is a guy bluffing, you know, etc. In the Phil Hendry Show studio, there is a tell when Margaret's going to go to the bathroom, and that's when she starts getting pissed enough at people that she can't use the word she wants to use, so off to the toilet she goes.
I can hear everything you're saying.
Good. I hope you are listening to everything we're saying. And this, whatever the hell her name is, Broadwell, whether she looks like a predatory female or not, she probably does. She's probably, you know, what is a predatory female? A woman that's a gold digger? Is that the same thing?
I'm done.
Oh, great.
Did you flush?
Oh, I forgot.
What made you think to say, ask her that?
Yeah, just want to make sure she flushed. We're not going to go in looking at it. The last thing I want to do is go look at it.
Yeah, I don't want you up. I'm sorry. I should have brought that up to her, you know.
La, la, la. Well, are we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air. We're waiting for you to come back.
I won't be spoken to that way, Phil. Now, we have a request for people. Am I going to sing that? Well, don't strain yourself. Am I going to sing it or not?
We had the request for it, yes. We have a request for people. Doesn't mean the guy's going to win a shot glass. We sent our shot glass out to Rick Anderson.
Okay. Well, you don't win a shot glass. God, Phil, what a cheap creep you are with those shot glasses.
Yeah, Phil,
Don't worry about whether I'm a cheap creep with the sun. When we want to give away another shot glass, we'll give away another shot glass, and we will do People by Margaret Gray here later on in the program. Thank you very much. We are talking here at present about this Jill Kelly situation. Now, what I want to find out, apparently there was some link between this Kelly and this guy, Allen, who is a general. And he worked down there along with General Petraeus at the Central Command and the Special Operations Command. And this man, Allen, was in line for a particular appointment, nomination as the Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, which is the position created in World War II. One that initially was held by General Eisenhower, the Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, and was passed on to other generals in peacetime. It's a very prestigious position, and it is a very vital and important position. It is on hold now until the investigation is complete. It delays his shift to a key post overseeing all NATO military operations. Now, the upheaval comes at an awkward time for the White House, the Pentagon, and the intelligence community. The administration faces hearings in Congress this week over the September 11th militant attack in Benghazi, Libya, that killed U.S. ambassador and three other Americans, and is debating whether to speed up withdrawal of U.S. combat troops from Afghanistan. In addition, Panetta and Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, two of President Obama's most experienced and respected political veterans, are likely to step down early next year. Clinton's intention to leave has been public for more than a year. White House spokesman Jay Carney said Obama thinks very highly of Allen, but Carney said he wouldn't call it welcome that a scandal erupted a week after Obama's reelection when the president had been hoping to focus on a deficit reduction deal in Congress. Kelly, Jill Kelly, was home with her children Tuesday evening. She refused to see visitors at the family's red brick mansion on elegant Bayshore Boulevard in Tampa, FLA. An SUV was parked in the driveway and fresh flowers sat in a front dining room.
What are they talking about fresh flowers?
What's that?
Why are they talking about fresh flowers?
They're just telling people what they see from the street.
Yeah, but who cares?
What do you mean, who cares? You want to know what is the mood of the house? How are people feeling?
So they have fresh flowers in a vase means what?
It means that life goes on as normal. This woman strikes me as a woman that likes to keep fresh flowers, fresh cut flowers, daily in a vase. I do. Every woman that I know who keeps a beautiful home always, without question, without comment, and without delay, always has fresh cut flowers in a vase. This goes without saying.
Oh, okay.
Well, don't, Phil, you don't even travel in these circles, so don't look, don't dismiss it.
Yeah, it sounds kind of weird.
Well, it may sound weird to you.
I don't know anything about it. If you're telling me that a well-kept home has fresh-cut flowers in a vase, all right.
Every day, though. You understand that?
Yes.
Every day, without delay. Do you understand that?
What do I need to understand this for?
Because unless there are fresh-cut flowers in a vase every day, I fire people. I get rid of our housekeeper. I yell at my husband. I slap my son. It's as if I am having my period.
Here we go with the whispering again.
What do you mean the whispering again?
It's as if you're having your what?
I am a late my period.
Your what?
My period.
I think she said my period.
How dare you?
Yeah. That's what she said. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to continue this discussion on the secession of Texas. Not whether we're going to continue the secession of Texas, just to discuss the secession of Texas. Why do we have to even waste time on Texas secede? Let them secede. That's what I say. Let them secede, and then we can attack the same way Lincoln did, lay waste to the whole place. We can invade and occupy with federal troops, and Texas will be like Iraq. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm joking, of course.
Truth is our bitch.
I love that idea.
The Phil Henry Show.
No, I would never countenance the invasion of our fellow Americans thing in the thing.
Free at 877-374-LIVE, LIVE.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, we don't have any call screening tonight, folks. Our call screening is down, and I don't see any point. We can do a radio show standing on our heads. We don't need call screening. But I don't know whether or not anybody, you know, see, when I say this on the air, I just want to say something. When I say something on the air, that is not official. That's not an official communication. That's me talking on the radio. An official communication. Official communication is officially accomplished by way of email between the principals, myself and whoever, you know, whoever. Me saying something on the radio is not official communication. So if, for instance, I say the call screening doesn't work tonight, that's not the cue for somebody out there in, in the Phil Henry Show business to say, oh, well, Phil said on the radio call screening, he'd do a show, so we don't have to fix it. No, you do have to fix it. See, I got to say all these things. Ordinarily, I wouldn't have to. Ordinarily, you just, you know, say what you say, and there's communication and this and that. But tonight, we got no call screening software. What difference does it make? People wonder why I take time off from this show. I take time off from the show, number one, because I have commitments with other media, other jobs. That's number one. Number two, we have things that break. And there's no amount of anything that I can say or do that will get it changed anytime soon. So I just do what I do, you know, just, you know, press on here. And I think it's funny to some people, if you want my honest opinion. I think they just think it's a laugh riot. The worst guy, I'm going to tell you something right now. And you know what? If I get one more email from somebody about how Seattle dropped, I could give a damn about Seattle drop on our show. You know, it was on a conservative talk station, okay? Our radio show is a unique satirical presentation. What do you want me to tell you? You want me to hold the hands of half of these jackasses out there and tell them how to program a radio station and where to place my radio show? I got to do everything here, man. I got to do a radio show. Then I got to teach people how to program a radio station. I got to do this radio show. Then I got to explain to people, here's how you market and place the Phil Henry Show. The radio business. No wonder it's going in the tank. I can deal with anything, you know, but one too many things, after a while, a guy's just going to say something, right? And tonight I walk in here and a call screening software is down after 2 weeks of going without a call screening computer. What the hell is going on, folks? What am I supposed to do? I don't know what you do for a living, ladies and gentlemen, but whatever it is, can you imagine showing up to do your job and some of the vital tools that you do your job with don't work or aren't there? Would you get angry after a while? And I get emails from people, and how come the show is on tape tonight? What's this going on? You know, I got to go out. I got to make a living. I got to make sure this thing's held together. I got a website business. There's a million things I got to do. I can't do somebody else's job for them. I have never in my entire life, you know, as the man, you remember in the movie Platoon when Charlie Sheen's character says that hell is the absence of reason? I have never in my entire life had to worry about not necessarily that equipment is going to break down. That is going to happen. But what I have to also worry about is the equipment has broken down, and now it's maybe the fifth or sixth time. I also have to worry about how I communicate this, because if I hurt anybody's feelings, well, then we've got another big problem. We live in a day and age, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you noticed this or not, we live in a day and age where people have never been more lightweight. I mean, we've got every walk of life, whether they are doctors, whether they work at the customer complaint counter at a department store, whether they are digging ditches, whether they're building bridges. Everybody has got a tender ass. And this is part and parcel of the way this generation was brought up. We've got a whole bunch of touchy-feely baby boomer parents that tell their kids that you're a very valuable person. And, you know, your opinion matters. And these children grow up and they go out into the world thinking that their opinion matters. And they meet up with somebody that couldn't care less whether they lived or died. And that completely screws with their worldview. And they get upset and they start acting in manners that they shouldn't, because my opinion matters. How dare you not pay attention to me? And they get their teeth knocked out of their face right down into their stomach. And then they're really in a they don't know where they are. You got people that are like completely, they're lost in the reality. So nowadays, one of the big problems our country has, in my opinion, just my opinion, we're not getting a job done because there's a lot more being discussed than just what do we need to do to get the job done. We also have to discuss whether your manners were proper. We live today, we've got people that act more piggishly in public than ever before, and yet we got this whole thing about manners. You know, did you talk to them right? Did you say this? Did you say that? Did you do this right? Did you do that wrong? Did you genuflect? Did you bow? Did you curtsy? Meanwhile, you can walk out into public any place, any time, day or night, and hear MFS, hear women called bitch, hear every kind of foul language, every kind of pig-like public behavior, but those very same people insist on respect when they are sitting there. They want all kinds of courtesy, man. I talked to this guy who was, I wanted to get my house, you know, it was my house. I needed the what the hell you call it, termite inspection? So the guy's going to come down, and he didn't show up. So I called him back and I said, you know, I got to tell you, man, if you don't show up after you make an appointment, well, Mr. Henry, you know, I was busy, and I know you're busy, but you made an appointment to come see me at 2 o'clock. Now, and this clown made this mistake. He said to me, Mr. Henry, before we proceed, I want you to know there's a certain way that I communicate. I said, well, I'm not proceeding with you. I'm not hiring your company. So get lost. Click there. That's what you get there, pal. You want me to proceed with you by what? Proceeding with the you were going to show up and you didn't show up, and so I'm telling you that you suck, your company sucks, and before we proceed, I'm not allowed to tell you that you suck. Okay, click, bye. And it ain't about the customer always being right. It's about a little straight talk when somebody isn't getting the job done. A little straight talk when someone isn't getting the job done. We're not in kindergarten. I'm not talking to five-year-old children. I'm not having to pat them on the head and say, now, you listen to me, Junior, you're doing a wonderful job, but you know what you should do. No, I'm talking to adults. And when I talk to adults, I don't know about you, I pay them the compliment of talking straight to them. See what I'm saying? like your check bounced. Now, maybe that's the wrong way of putting it. Maybe I should have said, I'm sorry, sir. The paper upon which you wrote those numbers, when I went to the bank with it, they said, no, we don't want that. You didn't use the word bounce, did you? No, I didn't. Okay, fine. I will be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Texas, that's right, seceding, right?
You might secede with Texas.
I may secede right along with Texas. Absolutely right. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I'm not taking it out on Dan. Dan's a good guy. I'm just, you know, there's some nights, man. Some nights, like my father used to say, some nights you,
some nights you're gonna get bear.
Yeah. Not some nights you're gonna get bear. Some nights you get the bear.
Not some nights, some days. Some days you get bear, and other nights.
No, it's not some days you get bear. What the hell is wrong with you guys, okay? It's some days you get the bear, and other days the bear gets you.
Phil, don't talk to me like a, you know.
All right, sorry, Margaret. Some days you get bear.
No, so you said some nights you get bear.
Yeah. Oh, well, some nights you may get bear, but that's not the saying. All right, welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. Now, I did Xerox on. Here's a story here. What's this thing going on here with Texas? Do you guys know?
Well, I think Texas is going to secede. They want to secede from the Union. It is this regular fantasy that they have in that state about seceding from the Union because they're not getting what they want or when they want something. I don't know.
All right. Well, I don't know what their problem is, but I have a suspicion. Texas seceding from the Union, it sounds very highfalutin, and it sounds very impressive, and it sounds very Sam Houston and all that jazz, but it's really just about money. It's about, I don't have enough money, and the federal government is the reason why I don't have enough money, and down here in Texas, we do things our way, and you don't do things the way that we do them in Texas, we'll secede from the Union. And at this particular point, I am almost in favor of Texas seceding. I'm so sick and tired of these people, you know? I'm sick and tired of people not being Americans. I'm sick and tired of them being, you know, just members of a community, members of a state community, members of a town, members of a city council, members of a club, members of a country club, members of a neighborhood watch. I don't see any Americans around here. I just see, other than our fine young men and women in the military, I don't see any patriotism. I see a lot of people waving flags. But the minute money comes in, well... And, of course, it's always about, I don't keep enough of my money. Well, you know something, Texas, times are tough everywhere, okay? You think you're all this? Texas is the cash cow? We can't get by without your ass? Secede. I don't give a damn. I mean, if it comes down to that, if I got to look at some fat slob on TV like I did tonight, I don't know who this guy was, from the Texas Nationalist Movement. Boy, that sounds fantastic. I bet you guys walk around with six guns on your holsters, and you probably got a big 10-gallon hat and maybe a star right there on your vest. What do you think?
Yeah, you probably got, like, a horse.
Yeah, do you guys ride around on horses, too? The Texas Nationalist Movement. I bet you, let me guess, I bet you run around with those Texas flags that they had there at the Alamo. Hey, I got it. Do you talk about the Alamo a lot?
Well, you know they talk about the Alamo. Remember the Alamo.
Oh, yeah, remember the Alamo. I remember the Alamo. That's the Alamo where, you know, Texas got beat, and it served as a rallying cry for people to come in from all over America to help secure the independence of Texas, and then Texas just couldn't wait to become a state. You mean that Texas? That Alamo? Or which part of history are we rewriting today? I can't wait for this, you know. Somebody got to come out with a new version of Texas history to tell us, oh, no, it didn't happen that way. See, the way it happened was. So anyway, I'm looking at this guy tonight, and he was typical of these narcissistic people that lead these kinds of movements. There's a little kind of a veiled threat. You know, we're talking about Texas freedom, the freedom of Texas, the freedom of Texas. What does that exactly represent? Well, we keep as much money as we can. We, you know, you do things the Texas way. Okay, fine. Does that have anything to do with the Constitution of the United States? No? All right. Well, then I can understand you wanting to secede. I can understand you wanting to secede. Does it have anything to do with human rights? Does it have anything to do with the quality? What are the three, the basic three tenets of our Constitution and really the American way of life is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For all citizens. For all citizens. And that, I guess that you're hung up on that one, Texas. All right. Then take a hike. I can't wait for you to leave. Because you know what? We learned an awful lot in Iraq, and I would love to see the United States military, as soon as you secede, go in and turn Texas into sort of a homegrown Iraq. Just one big fat green zone. How's that feel?
Well, you can't be serious.
No, I'm not serious. But here's what would really happen. If Texas seceded, here'd be the first thing that they'd say. If we said, okay, Texas, you're on your own, there would have been a lot of negotiation leading up to that. And one of the major components of negotiation would be Texas saying to us, well, of course, you have to, you know, guarantee our security, right? Oh, we didn't know, is that? Oh, sure. Well, that's what's done. That's how it's done. If a state secures its independence, let's take, for instance, Latvia, Lithuania, you know, countries like that. Don't you think that they fall under the umbrella of the military assistance and cover of Russia, of Mother Russia? Well, I'm sure they do. Oh, I see. So that's how the ballgame's played out. Well, that's the way. Okay, so we give you your independence, but we continue to spend militarily for your protection. What else do you need? You need us to guarantee trade, things like that. Smooth out the, or are you guys going to do that for yourselves? No, there's plenty of people who want to trade for Texas. Why our oil, for instance? Oh, okay. Maybe you, America, maybe you'd like to buy our oil. No. What if we said no? Well, there's no way you're going to say no. You need our oil. No, we got plenty of Arab oil. We won't use Texas oil anymore. You're a pain in the ass. But we wouldn't do that. We would do things the way things have been done, and we would guarantee Texas's security. We would guarantee a certain amount of trade. We would help them get on their feet. We would do whatever we could to help them be whatever it is they think they are, which is something other than America, and that is something that we would simply have to, we'd have to accept. Texas is not America. Texas is something else. Texas is, well, Texas.
What might make Texas different?
Oh, cows.
Oh, don't be funny. I think the thing that makes Texas different is the spirit of independence, you know?
Oh, I see.
Well, why are you sarcastic?
Well, what does that mean, the spirit of independence?
Well, Texas is, there's a big, broad, big, it's just big, you know?
Sounds like you're talking about a man.
You shut up, bud.
I won't sit still for that kind of talk. You understand that?
Well, wait, you're talking about everything being big.
Well, who said anything about you-know-what?
Well, maybe it's what I was saying. I mean, down there in Texas, they want to do things the Texas way. So maybe they want to put on their 10-gallon hat and have their star and have their this and have their that. And, let's just turn the whole damn thing into Canada, okay? Every 6 years or something, they got to worry about Quebec. Like I said to my friends in Canada, my family, I said, why don't you just let Quebec secede? You don't need that pain in the ass. It's not a country, you know, Canada's not a country. Canada is a confederation. They've got the same kind of bitching and moaning that you hear in Texas, you hear in Canada every day. You've got, what the hell do they got? You know, Alberta or whatever they call them, these provinces. Well, they're the ones that really are the cats that make the money because they got all the cows and all the hay and all the oil and all the this and all the that. And then the east of Canada is all the banking and all of the financial institutions and all of the, you know, all of the money changing, you know. And in Canada, you have they have a confederation, not a country. It's just a bunch of provinces that are hung together by virtue of an agreement. And the prime minister up there, he's anywhere. It wouldn't be a country anymore, but that's all right. I mean, I'm getting to the point now where let them all secede. If you want to wreck the country because you don't like who the president is, and let's just be honest about this.
Phil, don't say it's because he's black.
Really? Well, why are we hearing about a... Well, when did that guy Perry talk about seceding the first time?
Bush was still a president, I think.
Was Bush still president? I don't think so. No, it was before the... Well, maybe you're right.
Are you trying to tell me it's because we have a black president?
I don't know, man, but I can tell you this much. anybody that talks about seceding from the Union, this is very typically a panic thing. These are panicked people. Take a look at that guy who's heading up that Texas secession thing, and this is the kind of guy that you would see in a lifeboat panicking and saying that we're all doomed and every man for himself, and he would want to be kicking people off the boat because they're weighing too much, and get rid of that guy who's got an injured leg because all he's going to do is cost us our medical supplies, and that fat guy over there and that little kid we can't afford. That would be the guy that'd be saying throw people overboard and let's lighten the load. That guy, that Texas secession guy, the panicky, fear-mongering kind of person, you know.
Oh, it's too late now, man.
Remember, who's the guy that we were laughing at the other night?
Talking about Bill Paxton in Aliens.
In Aliens. You remember him? Game over, dude. Game over. That is the voice of panic. That's the guy from Texas. Game over. I get sick and tired of hearing it, man. I just don't want to tell you. All right, we're going to have Austin DeMarco on here in a moment to talk a little bit more about this. Our number 877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're not taking a break yet. We're going to go directly to Austin DeMarco. But I wanted to mention our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com for a backstage pass, a daily podcast of the show. And if you want to see me losing it on camera, you can. Boy, you missed it tonight. If you don't have a backstage pass, you missed it tonight. I was throwing all kinds of fits in here. During the commercial break, I was ready to kill somebody. You missed all kinds of colorful language and a complete meltdown by yours truly, your good buddy and mine, Phil Hendry. All right, so get a backstage pass, philhenryshow.com. You know what, Dan? We might as well take a break because that's exactly what it did what I thought it would do. It led me right up to the break. Hold on, Mr. Marca, and we'll be right with you. And we'll talk with Mr. Marca about Texas secession, and we will do it in a respectful way, and he'll probably be mad at me for saying all the things I said, but hey, at least I'll give him a chance to talk. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Austin DeMarco joining us from Don't Mess With Texas. And Mr. DeMarco, it's good to have you on the program. And I appreciate your participation. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very well. And I have to say, I listened to a little bit of what you were talking about during your break there. And I feel for you. The lack of professionalism in our industries, or whatever they are, is very, very telling, I think. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why those of us who are members of Don't Mess With Texas, which is a secession-minded political organization. I'm not saying that in our organization we're not talking about seceding from the Union as the only alternative, but we are saying that seceding from the Union is a very real option and a very real tool.
All right, just pursuant to the little conversation, the references we were making there, part of your rationale for seceding from the Union is the lack of professionalism in business?
I don't think there's a lot that goes into the decision for us to finally break our ties with the Union and go our own separate way. We look at the United States today as a country that one time represented service, it represented quality in its manufacturing, it represented honesty and integrity in its business dealings, it represented beneficence, I think is the word, when it came to its international relations. You could go and do an honest day's work and get an honest day's pay. All of those things, what used to represent America, they don't represent America anymore. In Texas, we do represent the traditional values of I keep what I earn, and I make a lot of money or I don't, but whatever I make, I keep it. And if there's a guy across the street that doesn't make as much money as I do, you know, I'd be happy to see what I can do about helping him out, but ultimately, the fruits of my labors are mine. And I take my child to a school, and the school is teaching that child things that I don't think that child should know or learn, I'll take that child out of that school and put that child in the school that I feel is more beneficial to that child. I'll make the decisions, thank you very much, for my child. And as far as Texas oil goes, we will pump that oil out of the ground, and we will do it as quickly as we can and sell it at a fair price, and we'll do it the way we want to do it. Not going to have the federal government telling us how to do it. And we'll sell it to whoever we want to sell it to. And this is the American way.
Well, can I take these things one at a time? You make the money that you make, and you want to keep it. If there's a guy across the street who isn't making as much and he's having a hard time, you'll help him out if you can.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what I said.
Okay. And suppose you can't.
Well, he's on his own then. And I don't have a problem saying that. I make the money that I make. And if the guy across the street cannot afford, he doesn't have the money that I have, and he's having a hard time keeping a roof over his head or keeping his children, keeping clothes on their back, well, that's just too bad. I mean, I feel bad for him, but I feel worse for his kids because their father doesn't know what he's doing. Same thing when it comes to the schools. I'll make the decision on what my child is learning. If there's some teacher that's telling my child something I don't want that child to know about, I'll tell that teacher, you're going to stop, or I'm going to take my kid out of that school. See, I want to control my destiny, freedom, and the freedom to do what we want to do and how we want to do it. And if I don't want to have people in my country, which would be what Texas is, a country, if I don't want them in my country, then I don't have to have them in my country.
What people are those?
Any people, any kind of people. See, I can control the borders of a country like Texas far better than I can control the borders of a country like the United States.
Yeah, but what do you have in mind any people?
No, I don't, not necessarily, no. But if I say I don't want you in my country, I can kick you out. And if I say I want to see your ID... And
are you proposing then...
No, hold on, Mr. Renner. If I say I want to see your ID to find out whether you belong in America... And see, one of the problems I got with America is I'm looking at General Petraeus, this Petraeus scandal, and the young lady, that she's got a great body. See, they're trying to distract what I'm saying here. And
why don't you turn your TV off then, okay, if that's distracting you?
Well.
Or is that too much of a dictatorial thing? You want to do what you want to do? You want to be able to talk about Texas seceding and at the same time look at the breasts on Paula Broadwell? Is that it?
Well, I'll give you this much, Mr. Henry. You are a smartass, aren't you?
Well, you're telling me one thing in the middle of it. You mentioned the breasts on this Paula Broadwell and General Petraeus, and it was distracting.
Yes, sir, it was distracting. Doesn't it distract you?
Not enough to break my train of thought, no. And yes, to anticipate your next question, I do like girls, yeah.
Well,
if you're on my show to talk about the secession of Texas, and all of a sudden Paula Broadwell's breasts are breaking your concentration, I feel for you, brother. I don't know what to tell you, but you can you have to continue to talk about it.
Yeah, but what about the smartass? What about the smartass?
What smartass, sir?
What you said to me is that too dictatorial.
Well, I'm telling you, if you are on the show talking about secession of Texas from the Union because you want to do what you want to do when you want to do it, and you don't want the federals telling you what to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And I say, well, why don't you keep your mind on business here on the conversation and not look at Paula Broadwell's breasts, or is that too dictatorial of me? Maybe I'm being a little sarcastic, but what do you think? Am I?
Is you? You were about to say is you, wasn't you?
I was about to say is you, wasn't you?
They're both grammatically incorrect. I thought I'd jump in.
Yeah, but you said is you, and I said wasn't you because I wasn't thinking. You said is you because you was. Or, I mean, you were.
Let's forget about the grammar, and let's get back to what we're talking about, which is me talking about you and you talking about me. You're seceding from the Union. That's what you want to do anyway. Texas secedes from the Union. You don't like the dictatorial nature of the federal government. Okay? So I just said to you, keep your mind on your business and not on Paula Broadwell. Was I being too dictatorial?
I'm trying to make a point, Mr. If I want to look at a woman's... All right, let me tell it to you the Texas way, okay?
Yes, that's what I want. Give me the Texas way.
I,
You know, in Texas, are people going to be, after you secede, will people be allowed to be smartasses and sarcastic?
Yes, sir, they will. Yes, sir, they will. Yes, sir, they will.
Okay, well, you know, just pretend like you're in Texas after you seceded.
You know, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just ignore you and I'll go on with my...
There you go. Just ignore me and go on with your point.
My point is this, sir. I'm talking to you and I want to say what I need to say. If I'm looking up at the TV and I see Paula Broadwell wearing that silk blouse and it's unbuttoned all the way down to the...
What? You can see cleavage?
You can imagine you're seeing cleavage, yeah, because that's how much they... That's what you see, and if that distracts me, then I will say that it's distracting me, and I should be free from you being a smartass about it. That's...
Oh, so that's Texas freedom. So that's the freedom. You want to be free to say what you want to say and not have anybody be a smartass and respond to it. Is that it?
No, sir, that's not it. You have taken my words and twisted them.
No, I haven't done anything of the sort, sir. Not, no. I have repeated back to you exactly what you've said.
No, you've taken my words. I never said that you don't have no right to be a smartass.
No, yeah, okay. I have to take a break, okay?
Naturally, you have to take a break. Every time.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Am I on the air? I want to say one thing. Paula Broadwell's breasts do not distract me. I have enough self-control whereby I can continue talking, and like a man... I can still look her up and down and appreciate it.
Phil Henry.
The fact that Mr. Henry didn't get this.